Well, hello, welcome back to the Charmony Podcast. It's Kenneth Allen. I'm coming to you live from Croatia. I'm in Split, Croatia, and I'm just traveling around again, having a grand old time. But I wanted to come on and do another pod short. I did one last year about this time, and it just has to do with recent news, and I debated on whether to do this, because I don't want to be somebody that jumps on some kind of, you know, bandwagon that's just trying to talk about, you know, the loss of somebody after maybe we forgot to show appreciation all the time to them, and then you go, oh, I loved them all the time, and, you know, like somebody shows up at a funeral who they haven't seen in 10 years and steals the spotlight or something, and I'm not trying to do that. Of course, I'm talking about the passing of Robin Williams, and the reason I've said, all right, I'm going to talk about it is just for two reasons. One is I actually have a medically involved story that is with Robin Williams in it. And two, I just think that this issue of suicide is so prevalent these days and so much more, exponentially more in emergency caregivers that I think this needs to be talked about more. And I've done other podcasts regarding this. And I want you to go back, if you're thinking anything of the suicidal nature, if you're feeling depressed, there are tons of hotlines. Listen back to Joel Miletus, that two-part podcast about dealing with post-incident stress issues with military and paramilitary, as well as Chris Warren's and his goal for setting up an internet system whereby you can gain help either by phone, by video chat, or by watching videos and blogging. I think these are the answers. We need to find the other avenue. So one, I'll tell you my story about Robin Williams. When I was in film school back in UCSB, my mother serendipitously was chosen to work on Patch Adams as the medical advisor for the movie. And if you remember, that was Tom Shadyac, the guy that did Bruce Almighty and Ace Ventura, and it had Robin Williams in it. And my mom, of course, said, you have to come to set so you can, you know, hang out and see how this works. And I took the train up from Santa Barbara to spend a day there. And it was one of those just amazing, magical days. I first showed up, and the director, Tom, stopped everything. First, he walked in and he hugged the entire crew, like sincerely, like he was sitting there and he started getting busy doing something and he stopped. Oh, I'm sorry. And he walked over to the craft service lady because she was waiting for him. He goes, I'm sorry, how are you? Gives her a big hug and he's like, yeah, just whenever you get a chance, I'll take a bagel. And then, you know, it was just, and he walked up to me and then said, you're Mary's son, Ken, aren't you? And I said, yeah. How are you, Mr. Shadyac? Nice to meet you. And he said, hey, anything you need today, just let me know. You can shadow me, do whatever. And I thought, wow, amazing. And then Robin Williams showed up. And he's just standing there, and I'm in awe of, it's Mork. It's fucking Mork. And he's right there, and he's got just a smile, and the kind, you know, the guy's got these eyes that I've never seen so much truth and vulnerability and compassion in anyone's eyes more than Robin Williams. And at one point he kind of looks at me and sees me looking at him, and I like stumble up on, you know, wobbly legs and said, hello, Mr. Williams, how are you? And he said, oh, very official, very official. Look at this. Well, you got grown a goatee. Yeah, that's nice. He said something that, I mean, I can't even remember the exact, because I think I was just, everything was in slow-mo, and he was, oh, yes, oh, oh. And he said, oh, okay, you're Mary's son. Okay, nice to meet you. It's good to meet you. Let me know if you need anything. And I thought, this is the second guy to let me know if I need something from them? Okay, will do. I'll let you know. When you get a chance, why don't you get me a bagel? You know, what am I supposed to say? Anyway, I don't want to joke around, but... and that was the day, if you remember that movie, Patch Adams was, you know, it wasn't the biggest box office thing, but there was a great scene in the movie where they're in gross anatomy class, and he's got the skeleton, and he's making the skeleton talk, and he's like grabbing the girl next to him with the arms, and he's, you know, and he's like, I think you used to do more with your hair, you know, and he's doing all this. He's just putting on a performance. And I want to tell you how that went down. It was actually between takes. They were setting up for the next shot, and it takes, I think, about 20 minutes to an hour even. And they still had one camera in place, and he would go to the corner of the room and just kind of sit there. And he'd go into his own head. You could see him, and he'd just put his head down, and he'd start saying, and he'd start talking to himself. And then he goes and he gets the skeleton, and he's sitting there, and he starts talking to the skeleton under his breath. And the director, Tom Shadyac, starts watching him, and then he wheels up, and so he wheels the skeleton back up to where it was between the two actors. And he just starts messing with them. He starts going, look at your hair, girl. And he starts doing the thing with their hair, and Tom Shadyac turns to the camera, the cinematographer, and he goes, start rolling. And he like does this twirl with his fingers, start rolling, like under his breath. And they start filming this. And it runs one take, probably 10 minutes. And in the course of that, he slowly starts breaking down the two actors. They're trying to remain stolid, running through their lines in their heads. And he just starts one by one breaking them down. And it's just like, how much do I have to do to make you laugh? And he just keeps going and going. And finally, they start cracking. And he just starts weaving his way into that fissure. And they're starting to lose it. The crew, meanwhile, is walking away from the set. They're walking away from the scene because they're laughing so hard. They don't want to screw up the sound on it. So you see people like one by one peeling off to go in the other room. And I'm just watching this scene just going, this is unbelievable. I'm watching a comedy skit, a one-time deal for just this crew of people. That is becoming this the most memorable scene in that entire film. And it was, you think it's more than just he's doing it for the sake of the movie. It was like he's breaking down the people around him so that they're no longer actors in a movie that have to perform a certain thing. They're just slowly being shaven off until they just become audience members in the glory of this scene, of just being there watching him perform. And they just, everyone just starts looking over, and they're like just wide-eyed, you know, slack-jawed, you know, the sides of your mouth hurt. Your cheeks hurt. And they just rolled and kept rolling until finally he did something that was just so hilarious that the entire crew busted up. And Tom Shadyac said, all right, that's it. And then they stopped. And yeah, I mean, just a round of applause. It was amazing to see him go from thinking this up in about 3 minutes by himself, completely introverted, and then to walk out and present this to the crowd. What do you think of this? How about I do this? What about I do? No, that's not funny at all. Let's try this. And he just rolled with it until he got that round, that crescendo of applause, and like, that was it. You can't top that. Thank you very much, and done. And that's it, and out. Now we can go to the next scene. And I'll never forget that. That's just, there are certain people that do this. They try and try, and they do it until it becomes, that wave hits everybody. It's like, now we're all feeling good. You like that? That's what we can be. Cool. We all just enjoyed something all together. We're all one. Okay, let's move on to something else. That's a magician, by the way. That's exactly what a magician, that's what a magical performer does. And I get to witness it from Robin Williams because my mom happened to be the medical director, and I happened to show up that one day to see it. And I got to say, it really it hit me, I think, like it hit everybody in America and across the world, because I think in a lot of ways, he seems like part of the family, you know? Like, he was with me my entire life, and you don't even know it, but he's on TV, and you're watching him on TV, you're watching Mork and Mindy, you're watching Comic Relief, or you're going to the movies and you're seeing Hook, or Dead Poets Society, or Good Will Hunting, and you're experiencing that same ability for him to bring everybody into that one moment, and you're all realizing that you're all feeling that same emotion together. It's unifying. I saw a quote from him that said, "I used to think being alone was the worst thing. I was wrong. Being with someone who makes you feel alone is worse." Well, he never did either one of those, I think. He made everybody feel this as one. And that's not an actor. That's an amazing person. And I got to say, Robin, you're going to be missed. You're already missed. And I want to say to anybody out there who's having suicidal thoughts, who's actually concerned, I know there's a lot of you, there might be just one right now who's hearing this, please go on and find some kind of person to speak with. You know, find another loved one that you can trust. Find somebody in a bar that you can jawjack with and get into a fight with about living and dying, whatever it happens to be. Experience the life. But I mean, really, go find hotlines. Find Joel Miletus. I'm putting a link on the page. You can actually go see a counselor. If you feel that strongly, you can do it. Do it. Talk to Chris Warren. I put his information on there. Just do it. Do anything other than just end it. Because there's always a solution. There's always another thing. And I know people are saying that suicide is more desperation than it is weakness. And they say suicide's the most selfish act. Look, I know whatever you think. I'm not going to be judgmental. All I know is that anything else is better for everybody else. If you even care about anybody else, there's a better answer. There's a better alternative. And you can find somebody. Hell, give me a ring. Fuck it. Give me a call, please. Or go on the website, say hey, and I'll give you a call. And we'll talk it out, man. All right? We'll hug it out, bro. Or madam. It really bothers me. It affects me that these things happen. And it seems like there are just maybe three periods in somebody's life where this occurs. It's like your early 20s, your 40s, the midlife crisis time, and then like the 60s. And I think that these are periods of flux. They're real crisis points in human development. And you're kind of moreless. You're untethered, and you're stuck out there, and you don't know what you're going to become. And you need to realize that you will become something else. And in the end, life will find a way to keep you alive or to kill you. It's not your decision. It can be, but you don't have to think about that. And if you really want to control something, control your life. Don't control your death, please. So that's all I wanted to say. But I didn't want to leave it on a bad note. I just want to say, that skeleton that he was playing with stayed at the City College, and we used to bring it home and put it in our front yard for Halloween and put it in a Hawaiian t-shirt, sunglasses, skateboard under it, take a stake, stick it into the lawn. That was welcome to Halloween at the house of the Allen house. And we used to have kick-ass times then. It's one of the big reasons I liked Halloween. But every time I looked at that skeleton, and in fact, if you go to John Adams City College right now, you can see all of those props because my mom brought them in for that movie. And you can touch the skeleton that Robin Williams touched. Just like he touched our lives. I didn't want to end on a corny note, but what the hell. Robin, you'll be missed. And thanks for all the memories. It's Ken Allen saying, if you got it, use it. Take care.
Hey, guys. Guess what the hell I got in here?
Oh, don't do this shit.
Curly. Come on. Guess again.
Bag it, Carly.
The fellow I got in here is the gentleman, the one and the only king of the airways, Adrian Cronauer.
Hey, Peterson, get up here, man. I think we got Cronauer here.
Hey, Cronauer, say good morning, Vietnam.
Oh, give me a break, man. It's too hot for radio shit, okay?
Come on.
Okay. How do we know it's Adrian Cronauer?
Okay. I'll give her the best shot.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Hi, this is Adrian Cronauer. I'm on at 6 o'clock and again at 4. Hey, would like to walk me to Vietnam, the country that is more stimulating than a strong cup of cappuccino or an espresso enema.
That one's coming right at you right now, but first, our fashion report from Special Forces Sergeant Ernest Lee Sincere.
Thank you. I think this fall, the discerning GI is going to be wearing green in the jungle. Why? Because it matches with the greens. I decide the leaves, they fall upon the helmet, says yes to me.
Thank you. There's a little news flash coming your way right now. We can't afford the teletype. There it is coming for you right now. Quick news flash.
Former President Eisenhower, actually cartoon character Elmer Fudd. He was quoted as saying, thank you, America. It was fun being president.
Also, Gina Lola Brigida has been declared the Italian National Mountain Range. Thank you, Gina. Look out. My little game show while we're waiting, and if who can tell me who sang the song My Guy? Hi, where are you from?
Boston.
Boston, you know who sang the song My Guy?
Yeah, shit, I can't think of it.
Thank you for playing! Yeah, shit, I can't think of it. That's right. You don't win the case of fish balls and lizard testicles. Thank you for playing anyway. Here it is right now. Hey, what's your name?
Patrick O'Miley.
O'Miley. I don't know. I'm just so happy. I'm O'Miley. It's good. I don't know. It's the Irish boy. I'm just so full of semen. I haven't gotten laid yet. I'm sitting out there. I'm the Catholic boy, and I don't know when I'll be getting laid. I'm just going off to Vietnam.
Where are you from? From the village, New York.
From the village? Well, nice to have you here. Nice to have you here in Vietnam. Obviously, you just said, well, fuck it. I'll join the army and be with people in green. It's a special thing to do. Hey, what's your name?
Jimmy Wilkes.
Where are you from, Jimmy?
I'm Austin, New York.
Oh, two boys joined together. Hey, he said, well, I got drunk, man. All of a sudden, I went for a tattoo. Next thing you know, I'm on a fucking truck. What happened? Wow, baby, I don't know what's going down. But you're both from New York. Nice to have you here. Like, you're just, like, hanging out. You're headed north. Where are you going to?
Not Trink.
Yeah, you got to be careful, Jack. That's some heavy stuff up there. That's like Newark after dark. You got to watch out. Some heavy shit going down, baby. You feel like George Wallace campaigning in Harlem.
Hi, have you seen my face?
Get your ass
out of here. Got to watch it. What type of music do you like? You like Little Anthony?
I like James Brown better.
You like James Brown better? Yes, sir. And the Stones. Or you like Mick Jagger? Mick Jagger, right. Do you think he looks like a photo negative of Little Richard, or am I crazy?
Little man, I don't know whether, oh my God, these lips, my God, they're moving. I'm going to flap my eyebrows today. Look out, I'm singing, everybody. I'm singing. Oh, get out of here. Watch out. All right.
Where are you from?
I'm from Cleveland, man.
Cleveland? Yeah. Obviously, Vietnam's not that much of a change for you, then.
Oh, no.
You guys take care of yourself, because you all look like, I don't know what's going to happen here. Right. What's this thing on the side of your helmet? What is that thing? What do you got there?
Try it out.
Well, why don't you try it out? Look at that. It says, what sizes you got? Large, medium, and Caucasian. Look at this thing. A little Italian party favor there. Oh, no. Boys and girls, don't do that. Look at this thing. Obviously, this is going like, yeah, check it out. Hold on. How big is this thing? Hold on. Black man's going, it's just for the tip. That's all I need. It's a bathing cap. I just like to put a bathing cap. Remember, this is the Vietnamese word, condom. Look, Italian moon lunch. There's prophylactic everywhere, man. It's not a pretty picture. There's pieces of rubber all over the face. I don't know what to say. You guys be careful. What's your name?
My name is Louis Stryker.
Louis Stryker, Brother Stryker. Thank you, Brother Stryker.
John Donham.
Jay Snyder.
Feels like a Mouseketeer show. Annette, Cubby, Roy.
Well, you guys, you take care of yourselves. I won't forget you.
All right, guys. Let's say goodbye to the radio star. We're out of here.
Bye-bye.
vacation land.
Everybody, time to get up. Get up wherever you are.
That's right. Rise and shine. Rise and shine. Got some songs going out right now to a couple of guys on the road to Nat Trang. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, Mr. O'Malley, O'Malley, you know, the Irish Dolby twins. They're out there. Special song going out to you right now.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more. Myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Armstrong, the great Satchmo.